you know, I have to pump the brakes when it comes to patience, and I have to learn and practice not being so uptight.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by True Earth. One of the things about being a dad has taught me is to look at things differently. It's okay to change things up from the way you used to do things. I want to make sure that this world is in a better place for my kids. How do I do that? One way is to choose products that are good for the environment. One company that is looking to help out our planet is True Earth. They started up their company to create less waste and less harm for our planet. True Earth Eco Strips are a smarter way to clean laundry. Their zero-waste laundry detergent sheets pack ultra-concentrated cleaning power into pre-measured laundry strips that you throw right into the wash. Its low-sudsing formula works in all types of washing machines, including high-efficiency machines. It cleans just as well as my previous laundry detergent, but takes up less space and is easy to use. It makes your laundry chore easier, healthier, and more economical and better for our planet. And as the one who does the laundry in our house, I've been using True Earth Eco Strips for a few weeks now, and I've been happy with the results. We are using the Lilac Breeze scent, and we're all digging that scent. It takes up less space than the traditional detergent jugs. It has helped make laundry day less messy and keeps my family's clothes looking and feeling and smelling clean all day. My listeners can use the code Art of Fatherhood for 10% off their purchase. Go to true.earth to check out their products. That's TRU.earth. True Earth, clean, green, and simple.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And I can't wait to chat with this guy and hear about his fatherhood journey. I'm a big fan of his work. It's none other than Oscar Nunez. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing, Oscar?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Congrats on Firebuds. We're going to be talking about that show in a second. I did talk to Craig Gerber, the executive producer, and I also talked about fatherhood. And I like bringing good guys like yourself to talk about their fatherhood journey. It's a way that, you know, sometimes dads might get the bad rap or whatever, but like we care. And having this podcast, I feel like we can all collectively be like, yes, we're trying to be good dads, right? So tell me when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
I have a manager and an agent for like over 10 years now. We have a good relationship. So I was informed by them that my wife was pregnant. Meetings were set up. And then I met my wife and she bought some papers and we notarized them. And it was official. She was impregnated. I am the father. And it was, I think, about 10 years ago. And she told me at a restaurant right down the hill. The restaurant's no longer there because COVID broke it. It was a French restaurant. And that's where she informed me. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to have the news. And then we were, she was pregnant, and we went to London and Paris just a week, I think, at each city while we were pregnant. And it was really neat because in Paris, I think in France, but in Paris, if you are pregnant, you go to the front of the line, wherever she went, wherever we went. And if you've ever gone to the Eiffel Tower, the line is minimum a quarter mile long. It's four football fields long, the line to get into the Eiffel. So we went to the front. So that was pretty cool.
That's like a Disney Fast Pass, right?
Yes. Awesome. Yes, it is. And then it would happen to her everywhere. We'd go to a restaurant, she'd go to the bathroom, and there'd be like five or four women in line, and she'd go right to the front. It's a very sweet little tradition and common sense. Yeah.
No doubt, man. Thanks very much for sharing that. Talk about some of the core values you're looking to instill into your daughters as she's growing up.
The core values, for better or worse, this was instilled in me, and it sounds like a good thing on paper, and I think it's good to be a general human being with this core value, but it won't help you in politics because people, it's a whole different bag. Early on, I remember my mom instilling in me the philosophy of putting yourself in other people's shoes. Mm. So ever since I was little, she's like, well, yeah, this is your opinion and this is cool and that's you. But now put yourself in the other person's shoes and see where they're coming from. You know, it breeds empathy, which is a nice thing to have. It's very nice. At the same time, I want to instill in her, there's this thing, she doesn't have it that much anymore. She doesn't have it. But I noticed my niece had it, and some women have it. And it's this thing of, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. They're always apologizing. Like, little girls and women are always apologizing. I'm sorry. And I'm like, stop that. Just stop. And I know it's cool. She has to go through it. But little fellas don't do it. So I'm trying to tell her that you don't have to apologize. Apologize if you step on someone's shoes, on someone's feet, or if you bump into someone, but don't apologize just for, because, yeah. Just because. Don't go around saying you're sorry. So it's that balance of being cool and having empathy, but especially a girl, sticking up for yourself.
My man.
With a loud voice, and it doesn't matter what the feedback you get, whether it's annoying, that's their problem, you know? Anyway.
No, I love it. I have two daughters myself, Oscar.
So you know.
I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest, and so of my siblings. And I
don't know how many siblings do you have?
I had two older sisters.
Okay, cool.
And so I would kind of go into that sorry zone, and then I saw my daughters doing it. It just, when you were saying that, it just, I'm like, you don't have to always apologize. You're good.
And I know women who I admire who are grown women with money, and they do it. I'm like, why? And one in particular does a lot. I'm like, oh, please stop. But she can't. It's in her DNA. God bless her. But it is a thing. It is a thing. And I notice. I'm like, why?
No doubt. And you know,
I have a younger sister.
Okay. And I was asking about the values you're looking to instill into your daughter. But let's kind of flip the script. What is something that she has taught you about life or about yourself that maybe you didn't know was there, but once you became a dad, you were like, wow, I didn't know this about myself.
You know, I'm not a young father. So I'm already baked. By the time we had her, my wife and I, we're older parents.
Yeah.
And by the way, we had her here at home. We had the kid here at home in the bedroom, which was very cool. You know, I have to pump the brakes when it comes to patience. And I have to learn and practice not being so uptight. Mm. They're growing. There's phases. Things pass, and my wife's better at it. She's cooler. I'm not so cool about it because I'm older. I think I'm cool, but I'm not cool. In my mind, I think I'm a cool guy, but I'm not. I'm becoming like old cranky guy, but I'm fighting it because I used to be cool when I was younger. And I think I still am, but I'm not. So I have to, you know, not take things to heart so much and stuff like that.
No, man, trust me, from one dad to another, I think you got more street cred on dad and being a cool dad than me and a couple other guys that I know, so I think you're good there. One more question before we get into Firebuds. Piece of advice for new dads or a dad hack, what would you offer to new dads?
You know, the easiest thing to say without even thinking about it is just patience, which I would say learn how and when to pick your fights. But you know, and also stay on your toes because everything's changing so quickly. And I just heard a thing that there's two things. How old are your kids?
Are your kids? 14 and 12.
Okay. So, and mine's 9. So we're in this thing that I'm going to tell you about. So this is something that's happened. Kids in the United States, I think COVID had something to do with it, but even without COVID, this was going to happen. Mental health is becoming an issue. It's going through the charts, and there's two contributing factors. Puberty. Puberty is happening sooner in combination with the media, the phone, the information that the kids are getting, especially, again, girls, because I have a daughter, so for me, it's especially. So they're going through puberty, which makes them crazy already. Their brain is going through all these changes and stuff. They're very susceptible to emotions and information. While this is happening, they're getting information, hopefully later rather than sooner. I don't want a kid to have a cell phone when they're 9, I think 13 or 14, but everyone is different. So they're going through puberty and they're getting this weird information. So that is a thing because boys and girls, boys, they put out pictures of themselves. They start posing and doing all this stuff. And then they start getting feedback from weirdos and strangers, and they take it to heart. Their brains aren't developed enough to say, what does it matter what this stranger? They take it to heart, and it's freaking them out. So all these doctors, all these pediatricians. Before, it used to be broken bones and puberty, the natural physical puberty and broken bones and scratches. Now it's mental. The kids are coming in with mental problems. And the doctors are like, we are not psychiatrists. And we're having a hard time handling this because there's a lot of mental health issue right now with adolescents in the United States more than ever before. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Great piece of advice, people. Make sure you listen to Oscar on this one. You're preaching the choir to me, sir, because my daughter's like, my youngest doesn't have a phone. My oldest, she has a phone, no social media. I get like, can I have social media? I'm like, no. I'm like, you got too much to worry about in life right now and finding your identity. You don't need other people to tell you where to go. So you are still spot on, man.
My kid's 9. And I look at her and I'm like, is it my imagination or is her body changing a little bit? And my wife's like, oh, she started already. I'm like, what do you mean she started puberty already? She's like, she started. I think I had puberty when I was 27. She's 9, and I'm like, oh, I see her little body changing. Oh, yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, no, it didn't happen.
Yeah,
it's a trip.
Oh, for sure. Thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate your insight on fatherhood. Let's talk about again. Congrats, Firebuds. You play Chef Fernando. Talk about your role and what intrigued you about being part of this series, man.
First of all, that the chef is in it. The lead.
I know who you're talking about. The one who, like, Craig Gerber, the executive producer, was talking about that as well.
Yes, he who should be canonized. He's like a saint.
Yep, oh yeah.
His philosophy is everyone could be fed. It's a no-brainer, and it's easy to... So that guy's the lead. He's in it, so I'm honored to be there with him. And it's great. And I love the stories. The stories are all about teamwork and feeding people.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Jose Andres, Chef Jose
Andres. Yes, Jose Andres. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, he's amazing.
You know, I spoke with Greg Gerber, like I said, and we talked about the values that this show has. And one of the things I do enjoy when my kids were younger watching Disney shows was like they would be entertained, but there was also some things to take away. Like you said about putting yourself in other shoes, people's shoes, having empathy and all that. And I think these shows definitely take those values to heart and try and do that. What do you hope people will take away from watching Firebuds, sir?
Just that. If you get that idea in your head that it is it's okay and it's it makes you feel good and it helps yourself. If you want to make it selfish, it helps you and it helps your brain to have empathy. It is a good thing to have. It is not a weak thing to have. It makes you a cooler person. It makes you more enlightened. It makes you nicer to be around. To just put yourself in the other people's, and that's not asking a lot. It doesn't mean you have to even agree with them.
Yeah.
And they can still be your adversary, but at least find out where they're coming from. So, because everyone has a reason for how they're acting and maybe ridiculous the way they're acting, but you're like, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
So put yourself in other people's shoes once in a while.
No doubt. You know, from movies to shows to sitcoms, all that good stuff. You do great live action. You do, of course, great voice acting. How do you prepare? Do you prepare, or you know, before I get too presumptuous and say, how differently do you prepare for a voice acting show? But or you know, lending your voice to a character. How do you kind of like? So with that, is there how much of a difference is there between live acting and voice acting? And what type of information do you prepare, or like do you look for when you're preparing to do some voice acting for an animated series?
If it's an animated series, so it's cartoon.
Yeah.
The cartoon is two-dimensional, but the performance is not two-dimensional, but it's within the realm. It's either for the ones I've done so far have been for children. So you're not going to play a divorced alcoholic, you know, father. It's pretty basic, happy, angry, upset, joyful. These are the things that kids should and do handle. Yeah. So it's pretty easy to prepare for that. And for me, comedy is pretty easy. When I have to really prepare for stuff, it's when I do drama.
Okay.
Then I have to sit down and really think. But cartoons is pretty, it's fun to do. You have to pay attention to what you're doing, but you don't have to, you know, get all dark and crazy about it.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And like, it must be kind of cool too for, you know, your daughter to just kind of see you working in, like, you know, for a company like Disney, because there's so much, you know, coolness that comes from Disney. Did she give you any like comments, or what did she say about when you took this role? Or I don't know how much you talk, you know, about specific roles, but did you guys talk about like you're going to be on the new show, and what was her reaction?
This, when she sees this, she'll probably look at it and go, "Oh, that's cool." But she's already kind of older. She's too old for it. Like I said, if I
Okay.
expect kids,
Yeah.
if she were younger, if she were 4 or 5, she'd be out of her mind. But she's 9, and she'll look at it and she'll go, "Oh, nice job, Dad. That's cool." And she might watch one or two, whatever. Right now, she likes live action. She's watching shows that have live action children in it,
Okay.
doing the things, going through adventures and stuff.
Nice.
And she's still looking at some cartoons, but they're different. There's so much content out there.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is. And one more question before we finish off the Fatherhood Quick Five. My wife and I introduced them to The Office, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this, because they were like, "Who are you talking to?" And they're like, "Oh, that's fantastic." Talk is like, you can like behind the scenes or whatever, but is there like a fun office story that you would like to share with me?
Oh, there's so many. I don't know if your girls know this, but Angela and I were friends before The Office.
Oh, cool.
For years, we knew each other.
Yeah.
So we were in the Groundlings together. We knew each other when we were struggling and poor. And then I didn't know she was hired, and vice versa. And we met on the set, and I'm like, "Oh my God, you're here." She's like, "Yes, I'm here. And you're here." And we were like, "This is bananas." So that's always really cool when that happens.
Awesome.
And it's cool because we were good friends. I didn't know her in passing, like we were friends. And I'm like,
Yeah.
"Oh my God." And we're on this show together.
Nice. I love it. Thank you very much for sharing that. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one right now?
Watching right now. What did we see? We just watched Paddington 2.
Okay.
And I don't know if you watched the first one. We have to go back and watch the first one. But for some reason, we watched Paddington 2 because I think I said it was really good. And then we watched it and we're like, "We've seen this before," but we kept watching it. And it's a great movie. And Hugh Grant is amazing. So much fun in that movie.
Nice. Favorite song or band you couldn't wait to introduce your daughter to, or vice versa? Did she introduce you to some cool music?
There was some, when she was in preschool. There were some cute little songs that we would play for her that I'd never heard before, and that was very sweet. And but now she's older, and now she likes, because of me, she likes the Beatles, the Kinks, David Bowie. Those are, I guess, her three top ones that we listen to on the ride to school.
Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
We would pack up and probably go to Europe. We were in Ireland before the second wave of COVID, and I think we'd like to go back there. We had a really, really nice time in Ireland. I was working, but we still had a wonderful time. And so in Ireland, you know, we go to Dublin, and I can get fish and chips and a Guinness. But there's farms to go to. We can go to farms, and there's like animals at the farms, and there's zip lines, and every people are Irish, which makes it amazing. And then so we can go to the country, we can go to Dublin, and we can see a lot of animals. So it covers
Nice.
all our bases.
Oh, that's great. Other than your character in Firebuds, who are you most excited for audience to check out? Like, is there a person that you can't wait to see? Like, this person, you're gonna laugh, or you're gonna enjoy this character so much?
My character's pretty funny, but the chef and the kids, just the kids in general, it's full of action too. So the little kids like that. They like when there's a mission to take care of.
Yeah.
So it's full of missions and a lot of action stuff happening.
And lastly, top three words you hope your daughter would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Oh, I'm so lame. So very cool. But it's ironic. I can't. It's like it's not gonna happen, because the fact that I want her to say that makes her roll her eyes. But I want her to say it organically. But it's never going to happen. So it's this is why I'm sad and miserable. This is horrible. She can't. The fact that I want her to say, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, "Hey, my dad's cool." She's not gonna say that. She's never gonna say that. And I point at people. I go, "Those people think that I'm cool." And she's like, "Oh, they." You have them fooled or something. But I'm like, look at the lease. The house is in my name. You think this is an accident? You're living, this house is because of me. She doesn't get it. She doesn't get it. What are you going to do?
Oscar, thank you so much for your time. People, make sure you follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Oscar Nunez LA, and check out Firebuds on Disney Channel, Disney Junior, and Disney Plus. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. It was an honor to chat with you, and I wish you and your family continued success there.
Thank you.
I want to thank True Earth for sponsoring this week's Art of Fatherhood podcast. Again, I love working with companies that are looking to make this world a better place for our kids and future generations. So please help the companies that are helping me here at the Art of Fatherhood promote good fatherhood, good parenting, and ways to leave this earth in a better place for our kids and future generations. Check them out at true.earth, that's TRU.earth, and use the code Art of Fatherhood for 10% off their purchase. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net, and please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.